Hello, and welcome to Textual Tension. I am your co-host, Rachel, and I often jump in here every other week to tell you what's happening in our little world. Hi, it's been a minute, huh? Shout out to Margie for doing such a good job with editing the past couple of times. Hey, hello. Gosh, it has been a minute, which means I haven't done this in a while, so we're just going to jump into it and, you know, get down to business. Hey, we have social media. That is at Textual Tension Pod across the board, except on X. We do not have an X Twitter account. but we are on Instagram. We got a Facebook somewhere out there. We have a website at textualtensionpod.com, and we have a Discord, which is fabulous and wonderful, and we love it so much. Everyone there is so cool. It's pretty great. We also have a Patreon at patreon.com/textualtension. We have all kinds of extra bonus content over there and all kinds of fun stuff. And again, a super cool community. We actually have a live stream coming up. So if you're interested in checking that out, you can find that on Patreon at the third tier membership. So hey, maybe consider going and doing that. If you don't want to do that, which is totally fine, what we would really appreciate is if you would maybe hit up your favorite podcast provider and leave us a review. 5 stars, even better. And maybe a little comment about how much you like us and tell a friend. That's easy stuff that you can do that really, really helps us. So we would super appreciate it if you did that. So I believe that is all. Oh, no. Oh, my gosh. I'm so sorry. Speaking of Patreon, way back when, we have 2 new patrons who I'm not actually sure have been given a shout out yet. So if they have, they're getting a second one. Hey, Butterflies and Mateo, thank you so much for joining our little family. We appreciate you and we're so happy that you're here. Okay, now we have our business out of the way. How about some romance novel wisdom? It's been a while. I'm not asking for much. I just want to find that one guy that has a thriving nightlife, who has discerning culinary tastes, maybe doesn't really care about looks, in fact, goes so far to avoid mirrors. And maybe one day I'll find him, and he'll lean down and whisper into my ear those 6 words that every woman wants to hear. I want to fuck your blood. Wait. Wait, no, that doesn't sound right. Look, I may have taken a hiatus, but those things have not gotten any better. You're welcome. I know you missed me. Well, a couple notes about this episode. So a couple triggers that I missed as I was going through it. There is a reference to suicide, as well as a reference to child abuse and... yeah, child abuse. So missed those in the initial trigger list. I called them out in the episode. Just wanted to make sure I got that here as well. And hey, thank you all so much for listening. I'm excited to give this one to you because it was real fun to record. Oh, and one last note. Incest is not a trigger. Just, you know, prefacing what I'm about to say with that. Please enjoy episode 135. Incest, but not that way. Hello, and welcome to Textual Tension, a love-hate relationship with romance novels. I am your co-host, Rachel.
And I'm your co-host, Margie.
Every other week, one of us reads and summarizes a romance novel for the other unsuspecting co-host. This week, Margie's listening in.
Hi.
And together, we unpack what...
The fuck
just happened.
I'm like not on it. I feel like I had I feel like I like had a moment of like I'm just here for the ride, and then I remembered there was like one thing I needed to do, and it's saying what the fuck just happened, and I was like, I'm just here for the vibes.
From now on, you're allowed to be just here for the vibes. Although love I don't that. Know if you want to be here for these vibes. I believe last time I did an episode, the request was.
No,
trash?
you made me a promise. See that? And you're I right. threatened you. I
the
threatened you.
The promise was trash.
And then you made me a promise based on the threat that I delivered to you. See how that happened?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. I see how that happened. Yeah. Well, the promise was trash.
Yeah.
And I did.
I did do a trash. I'm really glad. I really needed that. I needed to know that it wasn't just me only finding mafia trash. Not that yours is mafia trash. It does have to be mafia trash, but.
Oh, it's definitely not. Don't worry. But it's still trash. Here's the thing. It wasn't. It's that kind of trash where you're like, I was expecting this to be a lot worse, but it's still fucking bananas.
Can't wait.
Which is a very fun type of trash. However, I would like to go ahead and give a quick shout out to one of our newest Discord members who gave me the idea for said trash. So I would like to go ahead and give a shout out to Eagle King 64 on Discord. Hey.
Hey.
For they mentioned when they joined that they were in the middle of listening to How to Tame a Beast in 7 Days, which if you'll remember, is the one where the guy electrocutes everyone he touches.
Isn't it? But it's only except for this one bitch, or is it really everyone?
I think it's except for her for some reason, but also he's not a virgin, she is. That was the thing that was just delightful. So I was like, I think that's like episode 7. It's like way back
like
there.
The reason why is that it's like he only bones in the dry seasons.
It was the one dry season that he was allowed to. So I searched. I was like, I wonder what the rest of the stuff in that series was. And I'll admit, none of them seemed as wild as the other ones. So then I started going on to the, well, what lists is this book part of?
Ooh, good idea. And
I found one, a book, that I know, actually, I can confirm, I have checked out before, but didn't read from the library for some reason. And I can't tell you why, because it was the perfect example of what our podcast is about. So I'm just going to go ahead and shoot this bad boy your way.
Okay. Oh,
look at that cover, baby.
Oh, okay. Listeners, this book is called Once Burned, a Night Prince novel. And it has, it's by, is it Jeanine?
I said Jeanine, but I don't know.
Jeanine Frost. And the word frost kind of matches the vibe of the cover, because it is giving a little bit like Elsa, except he's a dude shirtless and everything, and like everything looks kind of like cold frost blue color, if you know what I'm saying. But he is definitely giving Poldark, like, and I like it. Long hair, like a little bit of 5 o'clock shadow, long dark hair. He's looking at you like under his eyebrows, like he is like
looking like almost up at you. But he's above you.
He's like, he's really like his, it's lucky that his jawbone is so chiseled, because if he had any semblance of a second chin like I do, like it would be just like splayed out like a pancake on his neck.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, he's got an 8-pack. 1, 2, 3, 4. Yeah, I would argue an 8-pack. Yeah. Although one of the pecs or one of the abs is shadowed by his pec.
Yes. He has some scars on his chesticles as well.
Oh yeah, he does. What do you know?
Yeah.
And then it looks like he's got like blue flame, like where the promised land is. There is some blue flame.
Pathway to prosperity goes right to the blue fire.
Man, you should get that checked out.
He looks dead on like another human, and I cannot tell you if it's maybe just another romance novel model that we've seen or an actor, but he looks.
It's the Poldark guy. I'm telling you, it's the Poldark guy. Yeah, look up the Poldark guy. He also played one of the dwarves in Lord of the Rings, in The Hobbit. Yeah, I told you. Yeah, see?
That's what I know him from.
And boy, that guy is so
Aiden Turner.
Upset. Yes, Aiden Turner.
And I want you to know that I Google searched Poldark guy, and that's who came up.
In that universe, Rachel, he's the only hot guy for like 100 miles.
It is absolutely I pegged it as the one is it Philly or Killy? I remember one of the hot young dwarf twins.
Well, he's like I said, he played a dwarf. dwarf. He just didn't play like a super hot one, which is crazy. I don't think he did.
I think he was. I'm thinking of Hobbit.
The Hobbit, yeah.
Movie. I think it's Philly.
And he played. But he wasn't anything compared to like the lead Hobbit in that movie. The lead Hobbit, yeah. Or not the lead dwarf. The lead dwarf in that movie. I'm like
Thorin. Thorin, yeah. Yeah, Thorin. He was Killy.
Yeah.
Killy, but yeah,
he's
him. No, okay.
I'm sorry, but he's nothing compared to Thorin in that movie.
I mean, you're right.
Yeah.
You're right.
Yeah.
I also, we're not going to get started on the Hobbit movies. All right. Yeah, that's exactly what it looks like.
We can't go down that way.
If you look really closely behind him, there's a bunch of like, I think it's, is it ravens?
Ravens?
Is it bats? Oh, I think it's bats. It's bats.
I mean, you tell us, you would know more.
I'm pretty sure it's bats. Contextually speaking.
Okay. I want to read this description. I'm already getting a little bit into it.
Do it.
So, she's a mortal with dark powers. After a tragic accident scarred her body and destroyed her dreams, Leela never imagined that the worst was still to come. Terrifying powers that let her channel electricity and learn a person's darkest secrets through a single touch. Right. Leela is doomed to a life of solitude until creatures of the night kidnap her, forcing her to reach out with a telepathic distress call to the world's most infamous vampire. He's the Prince of Night. Oh my god. Vlad Tepes.
Tepes.
Inspired the greatest vampire legend of all. But whatever you do, don't call him Dracula. Vlad's ability to control fire makes him one of the most feared vampires in existence. But his enemies have found a new weapon against him. A beautiful mortal with powers to match his own. When Vlad and Leela meet, however, passion ignites between them. threatening to consume them both. It will take everything that they are to stop an enemy intent on bringing them down in flames.
It's that Vlad, impaler Vlad.
So he did some impaling. We're just gonna fly on by the impaling.
Hey, Margie, you're using a critical mistake. You're using the past tense. You need to not do that. We're solidly in the present here. He does some impaling, I think is what you mean. Oh my god.
He's got a sad gig of impaling. His Etsy shop.
Vlad's impalements. Yeah, no, he does some impaling. That's present tense.
But also, here's the problem. I've read way too many enemies to lovers where I'm like kind of into it.
Here's the thing. It's not that bad. Like, the book was like, all right, this
you
is a fun romp.
You trash.
Oh, it's still trash.
Okay.
Do not worry. Trash can be good, all right?
Okay, that's fair. That's valid.
Yeah.
Okay.
But it's great.
But I'm like,
kind
of like,
It is lovingly trash.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Great. My impaling rates are...
My impaling days are over. No, they're not, Vlad. Don't kid yourself.
Once you impale once, well, you can't just stop impaling. I mean, you've got a reputation to uphold.
For what it's worth, if you look at Goodreads, it was nominated for Best Romance of 2012.
Okay.
It really isn't that bad, but it's still in that beautiful level of trash where you're like, what the fuck is happening? Which I love. We love it.
Yes.
Here.
Yes, we stand. Okay. All right. I'm ready.
You'll notice the similarities. In this one, instead of a man who isn't a virgin somehow that electrocutes everyone he touches, we have a woman who is a virgin and still electrocutes everyone she touches. So
yeah, that would
cool
be a
there.
Bummer.
Yeah. Both the electric. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But it is like, that is a very, very strange thing to, like, after coming out of an accident, you suddenly develop... channel. Is it like a, you don't have to get into this, but is it like a car accident?
We'll get into what her particular brand of trauma,
tragic backstory.
Yeah, of tragic backstory is.
Right.
We'll get into it. All right, triggers. We got some murder, we got some death, we got some impaling.
I would assume that I'm just like impaling without death.
Yeah. Actually.
Oh, you've got to be kidding me.
Yeah. We got some, there's some like familial trauma. It's more of the emotional kind. It's more of like just kind of that vibe of like family trouble. I'm going to put that on there because that's a thing, you know, not great. Torture. Yo, dog, I heard you like kidnapping.
Yes!
So we've got some kidnapping that happens with your kidnapping with a side of kidnapping, baby.
Well, I think, wait, it says it in the description, right? Like, she is kidnapped. Yeah. Yeah, until
yeah, for the first
of the
time.
Kidnap her. In the dark of the night, evil will find her.
Find her.
Such a great bop. All right.
First kidnapping. That's the first one.
The first
Don't worry.
One. Okay,
we got
good.
Layers to this kidnapping.
Oh, yum.
Layers.
Yum. It's like an ice. It's like a chocolate at an ice cream shop.
Oh, it's great. It's delightful. And I think that that is just about it.
All right.
So
let's
could be
go.
Worse. Let's go. All right. So our characters. Layla, who goes by Frankie when we first meet her, instead of her real name. Which is a little bit of a riff on Frankenstein. Basically, she was called that growing up because of her abilities. And so she's like, you know what? Fuck you. I'm Frankie now.
Yeah. That's really cute, though.
It is cute, right?
Yeah.
She has, I'm pretty sure she's like long black or dark brown hair. Like, I think brown eyes, maybe. I tried to find what she looked like. Didn't fully get it. I did, however, get that she has a very large scar that goes from her eye, like her temple, all the way down to her leg. And
wow, that's impressive. Like, what?
Yeah, they made enough references that I'm pretty sure that's what it looks like. If you haven't seen them, look them up. Again, tragic. It's amazing these people survived, but like, they're cool as hell looking. Like, it basically follows your veins. It looks like a lightning strike. So she has that scar. And she can't touch people. Basically, specifically her right hand, but pretty much her entire body. Her right hand will electrocute people, but her entire body, she can't touch people. Because when Frankie touches people with her right hand, she will electrocute them. Her body just
only
is
her right hand.
Yes.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure. So okay. Only her right hand will electrocute people. Yes, it is, because she wears a rubber glove on her right hand sometimes.
Oh, then she's good.
Yeah, it's fine, right?
She's good.
So
she's not rogue, like out of X-Men.
That
like,
was what I kind of thought.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, she really, I mean, just hold your, honestly, just handcuff it to the headboard. You're good.
See, right, right. Well, except there's a slight problem is that if she touches anyone with the rest of her body, she can see their past, present, and future. Toss up as to what she's going to see. If it's in the past, it's sepia tone. If it's in the present, it's full color. And if it's in the future, it's full color, but it's like looking through like a fisheye lens kind of thing. Yeah, so if any part of her touches somebody, she can, the first time she touches someone, she doesn't have control over it. She'll immediately go into some vision about them, whether it's past, present, or future. The second time she touches someone or an object or literally anything, I guess, she can choose to kind of like go back into this thing. That's just how it works, I guess. And then we have Vlad. And yes, he is indeed that Vlad of Impaler fame.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Just that Vlad, not the other Vlad.
Just that Vlad. He is a vampire, in case you were curious.
Okay. Yeah.
And it's funny that we mentioned The Hobbit earlier, because she describes him as looking like Aragorn.
Well, okay. I'm upset at the idea of Aragorn unaliving someone.
Yes. I am as well, although Aragorn does unalive a lot of things, but...
Yeah, but they deserved it.
Yeah. Yeah. to be fair, Lord of the Rings is pretty black and white. You're right. They deserved it.
No, it's like my mortal fortitude is like, nah, they deserved it.
Hell yeah.
Because it was Aragorn. They deserved it.
They deserved it.
They deserved
it. And I don't know if you ever looked at a picture of Vlad Tepish, Vlad the Impaler, like a portrait of him. I mean, I guess if you turn your head and squint, I could maybe see you making that association, but it's not
mine. Let me
just
pull up its Instagram profile.
Yeah, just pull up Vlad the Impaler's Insta. I'm sure
Vlad
it's fine.
_the_ Impaler.
I bet that exists.
Oh, I'm sure it does.
Yeah.
I'm sure it does.
Do not Google that. Yeah, so apparently he looks like Aragorn. He is a vampire, which the dead giveaway, is that his eyes turn like bright green, like neon green when he's like be doing vampy things. I will say one trigger that I did forget, Vore.
Right.
In quite possibly the most upsetting way. So get ready for that.
Don't love that.
No, it's not ideal, but it's fine. So just, you know, I want to toss that in there. Now, quick note about universe. Vampires do exist. I'm assuming other supernatural things do as well, but vampires definitely do. Humanity generally does not know about vampires.
Okay.
But vampires, like a lot of the stuff, like they can go out in the daylight. When they're brand new, that they don't love it, but they can do it as they get older. Mm-hmm. Certain vampires have certain powers. And, you know, all the usual rules apply. Supernatural healing, drinks blood, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Cool.
All right. Now that that's out of the way, let's get into it. So Layla is in South Florida. She lives and works in a circus. Like, she's a gymnast, so she also has a rockin' bod. Yeah. And she, it's kind of like, I think at one point she refers to it as like Freaktown USA. Basically, like, it's this little town that's run by all of the circus performers. So like the bar, the bearded lady is the bartender, and like things. Yeah.
It's like in Shrek.
At first I was reading it and I was like, I can't tell if this is weird or not, but I don't think it is. I don't know. It's read it. See what you think.
Yeah.
In terms of being uncomfy, I don't think it is, but I don't know.
You know, it could be. We don't live every experience, so we could be missing something.
Right.
Yeah.
Let me really quickly, before I say this, look up the... Yes. So we're going to go with little person. So she is out looking for her friend, Marty, who is a little person, and her...
I thought you were going to say, she's out looking for a little person.
A little person.
She is, but...
Yeah, she
is. It's just like any little person that she comes across.
So she's out looking for Marty, who's at, like, one of several bars. And Marty is her, like, performance partner, and she's just trying to find him. And they are best friends. Like, he is, like, father figure to her kind of thing. He also happens to be a vampire, and she is aware that he is a vampire.
Mm-hmm.
So she's just trying to find him. Now, Margie, if you were going out to a couple bars to try to find your surrogate dad, essentially, and if you touched anyone with any part of your body, you could see their past, present, and future. Sorry, their worst sins, I should specify. You see their worst sins. And also electrocute them with your right hand. What would you wear?
Close.
Fashion moment. What would you wear?
I would wear like a nun's outfit.
Uh-huh. Good.
Or a full burqa.
Mm-hmm. All a good choice.
Yeah. She's wearing a mini skirt and it's like a short top, right? A crop top, isn't she?
Layla has chosen short shorts and a tank top.
Yes.
As one does.
I mean, you shouldn't be touching anyone unless they ask for it, but accidents happen.
So, and I will say, her circus friends and coworkers do know of her affliction, so they don't say anything until, as surprised no one, an accident happens. Gasp. So first thing she does is accidentally shock someone. Thankfully, she had, like, offloaded some of... She can offload her power, and it makes it, like, less. She has to build it back up. She's basically a giant, like, capacitor. She's, all, like, a battery, basically. So you can discharge it, and, like, she recharges over time. So thankfully, she had discharged a little bit. So the guy only got, like, a bit of a shock, and she's like, oh, sorry, you know, humidity, electricity, like, static electricity is wild. And he's like, okay, weird. And then she accidentally bumps into another person. And this one, her is a little bit different because it's not rolling. I was trying to think about the rules around her abilities are a little bit fuzzy. So she accidentally touches this person with her right hand, which does not mean that she electrocutes them. It means that she gets their future / past / whatever. It's any part of her body is the electrical one. Her hand is the other. I think I said it the other way around, but okay. That's what it is. Whatever. So she touches this lady and sees first her past of this woman cheating on her partner, which not great. And then her future of said partner murdering her that night. Not ideal. Not great.
No,
not cool.
No.
Yeah. So fortunately for Layla/Frankie, it's cool. The past is the future is just a suggestion. So she immediately is like, hey, everybody, he's going to murder this woman. And if you look at his trunk, here's all of these things. And guess what? They find all of those things and everyone freaks out and she prevents this murder and yada, yada, yada. Cool. Cool
okay,
for
well,
the woman.
Yeah, yeah.
Bad for Layla, because she does kind of have her 15 minutes of fame of this random woman, psychic, you know, saw the future, like all of that jazz, right?
Right.
So.
Oh, and that puts a target on her back.
Yeah, so she's really flown under the radar for quite some time, but she had this one slip up, and not great. So that's cut to a few weeks later. She's still waiting for this media sensation. Yeah, she's still waiting for this media sensation to die
Dissipate.
Down.
Okay.
Yeah, and she's working on her routine with Marty on the trampoline, just kind of, you know, hanging out, working on flips and junk. And Marty goes inside to make her one of his patented workout shakes that she hates, but he insists on making for her. And she lands after her routine and notices that there are four people around this trampoline that were not there when she started her flip, which can only mean one thing. They vamps, baby.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Because move super fast.
They move super fast.
Impossibly and fast and strong.
Say it.
Say it out loud.
So these vampires, they kidnap her. They're like, because vampires, one of vampires' many abilities is they can hypnotize people or like compel them to like do what they want, tell the truth, that kind of thing. So Layla's like, I can't lie to these people. They're going to get the truth out of me one way or the other. So yes, I can do these things. Like she's very practical of like, I'm not going to try to hide it because there's no point.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And so they take her and they whisk her away to a Red Roof Inn.
No shit. Is it really a Red Roof Inn?
It really is a Red Roof Inn.
You think that they're going to have like some nice castle or something or like a getaway or a safe house. Nah.
Nah, dude. So she proves to them her abilities by telling, these triggers are tough because it doesn't happen. It's just references to things like child abuse and like that kind of jazz.
Right.
Basically, they're bad people. They're bad vampires.
And she proves did to bad them, things.
Did very bad things. And she proves to them that she can tell their past and everything by telling them all of the
She's
bad
like,
things
guys,
that they've done.
I know you're the bad guys, okay?
Yeah. Look. We've established in the grand tradition of, oh, but I don't deal with kids. We've established you're the bad people. We get it. Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. I may be a flesh or I, what is it? I may traffic guns, but at least I don't flesh pedal. We get it. You're bad.
But they are. Mm-hmm. Are they flesh peddlers? Are they like?
No, they're more into
kids,
into the creep to kids. And murder situation.
Kids. Yeah. I just see like a charity about crayons or something.
No, we don't want to imagine what they do to kids.
Nope, you're right.
It's
you're
not
right.
Good.
Sorry.
Nope, not good. So they basically get her in a room and they tell her, they're like, look, we have these items. We want you to find the person that murdered this guy, basically, the owner of these items. So, again, she doesn't really have a choice.
Right.
So, she grabs it, and she relives this person's horrible death. This person was immolated. Oh. They were set on fire, basically. Which, do you remember the coroner lady that could relive people's deaths?
Yeah.
That book? It's kind of like that. In terms of how she does relive the experience of these people. So this person was set on fire and murdered that way. There was this very attractive Aragorn looking guy wreathed in flames that was definitely the one that did the murdering.
Well, okay then. It's like, yeah. I always love in a scene where a guy is doing something horrible, but the other character is like, but he was really hot doing it though.
He was really hot while he did it.
Like literally and figuratively for years. Like he did this like really fucking horrible thing, but God, it's like, I was reading a book recently where like the guy was like, I kidnapped this girl, was keeping her in his apartment totally for the podcast. And she was like, oh man, but he's got really handsome hands. And I was like, he grabbed you off the street with those hands and threw you into a van.
Look, he literally lit a dude on
fire.
He literally lit a dude on fire, but he was hot as shit, so it's fine. Oh my God. So she is able to, like, basically, like, the way she... magic-y mumbo-jumbo stuff. Basically, she's able to follow this dude to the present. Like, she grabs onto his, like, psychic signature or whatever and follows him to the present. And she gets there, and she's looking at him, and she's like, okay, like, I see his surroundings. I can see where he is. He has no idea I'm here. Like, this is fine. And then he looks at her, and she's like, coincidence. He has no idea that I'm here. And he's like, who the hell are you? And how did you get here?
So this is in the vision from the dead guy's stuff.
Yeah, so this is the present. She took that vision and followed him to the present, basically.
Oh, okay, yeah. Gotcha.
So she panics and lets go and is like, oh, fuck. Uh-oh.
He saw me.
He saw me. That's not good. No bueno. And so she's trying to, like, basically she's able to manage the vampires to be like, no, I got to try again, like, because she's, like, panicking. She's like, what am I going to do? They're going to kill me. Like, they're going to go eat a family next door in the Red Roof Inn or something. Like, I need to do something to get out of this.
They were just trying to get to King's Island Amusement Park. And they were staying it has a free pool and free Wi-Fi.
They were just trying to go to Six Flags on a budget.
It has free continental breakfast.
Yeah. As if the Red Roof Inn would have free continental breakfast. So she is able to get in contact with Vlad again. And she's like, I have literally no other choice. Hey there. Hey, buddy. Hi. Hey,
the lad in the impaler.
She doesn't know that's who it is yet.
I know. Yeah.
She's like, he's like, so, who are you and how are you here?
What
and
she explains, you doing?
She's like, I've been kidnapped. These people want me to find you. And they want to find where you're at. And he's like, I'm at home. Tell them to come over. She's like, well... So she tells them that and they're like, she tells them that and they're like, not good enough. Keep going. And she's like, okay. So so he's like, so do they say like, who's trying to find me? And they're like, no, I have no idea. I'm being held captive. He's like, where are you? And she's like, this is where I am. He's like, okay. I'll take care of it. A Red Roof Inn. He's like, I'll take care of it. And they, like, she cuts off and she's like, I'm exhausted. She, like, is basically buying for time, trying to get them to, like, give her more time and everything. And, like, overnight, hours pass. She keeps pretending to try. She keeps trying to, like, buy time because she has no idea what the hell else to do. And she calls him again and eventually, and, like, calls him again. And she's like, where are you? And he's like, I'm flying, because vampires can also fly. Certain ones. Oh, just wait. The list of powers goes on. Certain vampires that are very old can also fly, I guess. So he's flying, literally, like Superman flying. And she's like, well, where are you? And so he, like, tilts downward so she can see, like, the lights of a city. And he's like, you know, Florida. She's like, what took you so long? He's like, look, my home is very far away. It's in Romania. So
Yeah. Man, so, he went across the whole ass ocean.
He did, just for this random bitch that got into his brain. Probably a novel experience for him. And if we know anything about strong, silent men, it's that they like novelty. So,
that's why they're so quiet. There's nothing interesting to talk about.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
So she's, like, narrating to these people where he is, like, the people that kidnapped her, as she's seeing, like, talking to him. Because she can speak and do this at the same time. And they start to panic because she just keeps describing, like, oh... he's over a city. There's the ocean. It's getting closer. Look, there's a Red Roof Inn. And he comes swooping in and murders everybody.
except
lights
for her.
It on fire, except for her. She, however, ain't gonna fucking stick around. So she goes leaping out the window, tucks and rolls, gives herself a concussion in the process, right? And starts to book it, but one of his buddies catches
Goons.
Her.
Yeah.
So she is being held by them, and then Marty comes out of nowhere and tries
another
to attack.
Another kidnapping.
Marty had followed, like, her friend Marty, aww, and like tries to take Vlad out, and she tries to stop him and electrocutes Vlad. It's this whole thing, and basically Vlad's like, look, I'm not gonna hurt your friend out of respect for you right now, and I'm not gonna hurt you.
So however, who are you talking about? I'm sorry.
Vlad is saying this
to
Layla.
Okay.
He's like, I'm not gonna hurt your friend, Marty, who tried to save you. I'm not gonna hurt you. However, these people obviously wanted you for your powers. They knew what your powers were. I've killed them, most of them. One of them I'm taking with me. But I've killed most of them. I think it's probably in your best interest if you come with me and maybe come to my house where it's safe, because
come
you ain't. Come to my house where it's safe, because you ain't safe.
Your mom said that you can. My mom said that it's okay if you come over.
Yeah, we have
Gushers.
We have Gushers. We have
human
shit.
Beings do
Capri
gush.
Sun and Gushers. It's Capri Sun and Gushers.
Yeah, Capri Sun and Gushers. Yeah.
We got fruit by the foot.
My mom tells I just have to be back by dark.
Hell yeah.
When the street lights come on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they do. He takes her to Romania, where his house is. And by house, I mean mansion.
How did they get there? Do they fly?
In a normal-ass jet. In a normal-ass jet this
time. Does he fly with them, or does he fly next to them?
He flies with them in the jet. So one thing of note is, first of all, there is instantly a spark between Vlad and Layla, obviously. Second is that Layla's like shock electrocution thing doesn't actually really affect Vlad. He feels it, but he's a vampire, so he heals fast enough that like it doesn't hurt him, basically.
Okay, convenient.
So right, so like when, and that's the case with most vampires, is like she can touch them and they won't, like, it'll hurt them maybe eventually, like at first, but it won't like really hurt them.
Okay.
So she's actually really like paranoid about getting on that plane, and he's like, it's fine, hold my hand and you won't do whatever. Like,
why
you won't electrocute.
Oh, because she's afraid that she's going to electrocute someone? Okay.
So, like, she doesn't have a phone. She doesn't, like, she can't do any of those things because she can't interact with electricity.
Technology,
right?
Okay.
Or technology, yeah. So he, like, holds her hand the whole way. And as I'm explaining this, I actually can't tell you whether it's her whole body or just her hand. I have no fucking idea at this point. So we're just going to let plot be plot.
Yeah, sure.
So they make it to Romania, and and Marty also comes. Marty comes separately. He travels separately, but he also is on his way to Romania. He's like, yeah, pretty much. He's like, I'm not letting her alone, and also, you're not going to let me leave because I attacked you. Cool, great and good.
Yeah.
So they get to Romania, and he gets her set up in his castle, and it is basically a fucking castle. It's real bougie, but it's
a whole-ass
castle.
It's a fucking castle.
And a fucking castle. He sets her up in a room. He, like, you know, she's able to take a shower. And she finds out that, one, he has gone back on his word and has indeed hurt Marty.
Oh, why?
I couldn't tell you, but he does impale him. So here's your first impaling.
What? Oh, I'm sorry. When you said hurt, you meant murder? Because I don't know if you know this, but impaling murders people.
Well, but
it's
see, he's a vampire.
It's an unfortunate side effect. Oh, right. Okay, he's already dead.
He's already dead, so he survives it. It's fine, just a flesh wound. she also accidentally brushes against Vlad for the second time. She did it once before.
On fucking purpose, because, you know, the impaling.
Yeah, so she brushes up against Vlad and has a sexy vision of them fucking.
Ooh.
So that's an exciting way to start a kidnapping.
I guess that would be kind of convenient. You know, you wouldn't have to be nervous around a person if they're like into you, because you could just
Now here's one other thing that I may have forgotten to mention. You know all those powers that vampires have? Well, Vlad has another one.
Yeah.
He can can read minds. Well, that means that he knows everything that Layla is thinking at all times.
Oh no!
Yeah, it's not great.
So he can read any mind at any time.
Yeah.
Oh, that would be so annoying.
Right. I think he can control it. He just chooses to listen to her all the time, which is definitely not problematic at all, and not
and
weird.
And also not weird, and also like not because you're a controlling weirdo. But no, she's special, definitely. I'm assuming all of her thoughts are novelty.
She's very special. Actually, no, she's actually like, it is really frustrating. She's like, God damn it, I forgot he can hear me. Like, that kind of thing. And he's just like grinning.
That would be horrible.
Yeah, she's not happy about it, but so she can't lie to him. She has to say the truth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She
does find a way around it eventually. Like I said, Vlad has impaled Marty. Marty basically afterwards is like, she's pissed at Vlad, obviously. But Marty tells her, like, look, this is who you're dealing with, because she doesn't believe that he really is Vlad the Impaler, like at first, obviously. You wouldn't believe that, right? He's like, no, you really are dealing with this. It's scary as hell, but also probably the safest place you can be. I'm going to go out on like scouting missions and like work for him because I want to keep you safe. So please be safe. Do not bone him. Specifically, do not bone him, but also just be safe. And Marty leaves. So let's quick recap up to this point.
So she bones him.
Maybe. So quick recap up to this point. Just a reminder. Layla can electrocute people and see their past, present, and future. She was kidnapped the first time, saved by the person she was kidnapped to find, and is now kidnapped by the person that she was sent to find.
Mm-hmm.
Tracks? Cool. Great. We're up to speed. Awesome. So there's this like brief side thing where she is like basically denying, like, no, there's no chemistry between us.
Say I'm in love.
and Vlad is like, no, there definitely is. I can read your mind. I know that there is. And she's like, no, there's definitely not. He's like, okay. This castle is full of vampires that also will not be hurt or injured by your electricity. You're welcome to date any of them. Have an affair. I don't care. Bone whoever you want. Go for it.
And
she's like, okay, fine, I will. And she does go on a date with like one of his employees who's like really interested in her. And she's like, yeah. And she like kisses him like for the first time she's ever really kissed someone and everything. And she's like, fuck, he's right. God damn it. Like, she really, yeah.
Oh, so he knew the entire time that she would come back. He's like, I know
right?
How attracted you are to me.
Yeah.
I literally look like Aragorn.
Honestly, though.
The 2004 Aragorn post or whatever. That's literally.
Margie, look, all I'm saying is that when, like, my birthday or Christmas or whatever comes around again, if you need a gift idea, get me an Aragorn poster and I will put it on my ceiling.
Like, oh, I'm sorry, your ceiling, which also happens to be your husband's bedroom ceiling.
No, I'm in my office right now that I work from. I'm thinking right above me in my, I'm not kidding. Oh, I will 1000% do it. Just saying. Hey, yeah. Listeners, you want to send me a pair? No. So she's getting sexually frustrated, both because she obviously has all kinds of sexual ghiblies going for Vlad the literal impaler. And also,
I mean, I would question your taste.
Yeah, well, I mean, Aragorn. So
yeah, but but just quickly, he also impaled your friend.
Yeah,
I would like to think that if you wouldn't date, I would not date someone who would have had ever impaled you, Rachel. I want you to know that.
I mean, would I live through the impaling?
Are you a vampire?
Maybe. I think that's the crux of it. He lived. Her friend lived. And it's not the first time or the last time he will be tortured.
I still think that's rude.
Oh, absolutely it is. But, you know. He's a man. So,
yeah.
Yeah. He's an attractive man. So, she is sexually frustrated by all of this. She's also frustrated because she can't have a conversation with Vlad about this because he has conveniently disappeared, or rather is, quote, not available. So after a couple days of this, she's like, you know what? And she's like, and I can't fucking masturbate because he'll know, because he can read my goddamn mind. So
honestly, do it and torture him a little bit.
Yeah, that would be fun. Yeah. So she goes to work off some energy in the gym. And like, she's been feeling kind of crappy, but she's like, I've had a hell of a lot of like jet lag and like a lot of stress in my life right now. So whatever. She goes to the gym. She does all kinds of fun acrobatic stuff. And she ends up meeting the other people, non-vampires, that are in this castle. And they're the people that Vlad feeds on. And they're all really fun. They're like, they're so nice. And she really likes them.
So why are they there, though? Well, so you said that the other people who are there, who Vlad feeds on, are they there for their own, by their own free will, or are they there because Vlad kidnapped them? Okay.
They are all their own free will. They're actually all part of, like, the Vlad the Impaler bloodline, like.
I draw the line at slavery.
No. This is consensual blood sucking. It's fine. And actually, a lot of them have the hopes of becoming vampires eventually, so, like. Yeah.
No, honestly, if that were me, would you want someone to like get it out from the vein, or would you be like more clinical? Like, look, you gotta get a catheter and like suck this out of me. I feel like from the vein, I'll be like, this is too awkward. This is too weird.
They say it's very clinical in terms of like, all right, bend your neck, eat, done. Like, that's it. It's not like sensual or weird. Well, it is weird, but you know what I mean. It's just kind of get in and out and be done.
Listen. Yeah. Can you just draw the blood? I know, it's weird. Did you hire a phlebotomist, please? Castle phlebotomist.
Technically, Vlad is a phlebotomist in some way. So, what are vampires if not immortal phlebotomists?
Indeed.com, immortal phlebotomist.
I want that cross-stitch. Vampire? You mean immortal phlebotomist?
If we have vampire listeners out there, I feel like some of them would love that as like a gag gift.
Oh, it'd be great. It'd be great. Yeah.
If you're a vampire in your life.
Yeah. So she does, however, in the process of like, you know, showing them her power and yada, 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 pass out. Not great. And actually, it's one of those things of, oh, my ear's bleeding, passes out. Not great. Okay. It's bad if your ears bleed.
Yeah, no, that's a problem. That's a brain. That might be a brain issue.
So this is where we find out she's dying.
Oh, wow. A lot is happening.
A lot is happening. So Layla's accident happened when she was like 10.
Okay.
She was really young. What happened was she got... she touched a down power line. Basically, there was a like a storm, power line was down, she didn't notice it. There was a dog that was in trouble. She went to save the dog. Dog survived, Aww. Don't worry. And she
the dog
got,
is okay, thank
dog
God.
Dog is fine. And she got electrocuted basically. For some reason, after this happened, she survived, but a couple days afterwards her body basically is generating electricity. And she had that weird I can see people's past, present, and future, greatest sins, yada yada. She can see dead people. So here's the problem. Her friend Marty found out when she met Marty, the vampire who can like smell shit because vampire stuff, that she's dying because her body isn't healing. Like the electricity is basically doing so much damage to her insides that she's...
it's like roasting her from the inside, basically.
Basically. So you know how I mentioned those weird shakes that Marty makes for her? Yeah. Florida fried chicken. You know those weird shakes that Marty... Those shakes that Marty made? For her, those weird ones. Yeah. So they had a little bit of his blood in it because his blood was helping her heal, and it's like the only reason she's alive right now. She had no idea.
Okay.
This was happening.
Okay. Okay. Yes. So he's been like saving her life, essentially.
Pretty much. Now, Vlad busts in and is like, oh my God, what happened? My girl.
Yeah, because protective vibes, we do stand.
Yeah, protect vibes. And he learns what's been going on and how she is, in fact, dying. He's mad at Marty. But he, guess what? Vore time!
Yay!
Number one. He feeds her his blood. It's
not
fine.
My favorite thing. Still
it's
not my favorite thing.
Fine. They have a really sensual moment about it, and the vampire that she went on a date with walks in. It's cool. It's fine. So I'm not into the blood drinking thing, but they obviously very much are. So good for them.
Yeah,
except that now he's like, ah, shit, I got the feels for this one. She's mine. No one else can date her. I rescind my offer. She's mine now. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's how
you
that
know,
goes.
You know, you crossed a barrier.
Yeah, right.
The barrier of her of your skin.
The barrier of blood. yeah.
You know, in some other cultures it's called a hymen, but...
Or the blood blip, the blood barrier, the blood-brain barrier, if you will.
Yeah.
Here, this other vampire does come in because Vlad has some guests. These other guests, as a side note, can also read minds. And one of them, who doesn't like Vlad, teaches her how to get around Vlad's mind reading.
Oh, nice. Good for her.
You repeat really annoying 80s songs in your head. So that's all they can hear. Yeah, so she's just walking around singing, "I'm too sexy for my shirt, too sexy," in her brain on
dance,
repeat.
Dance, magic, dance.
Yeah,
jump,
right?
Magic, jump.
Oh, that's a good one. I love it.
That baby spell on me. And you know that Vlad would hate it.
Oh, like, absolutely.
We know it's a bop, but Vlad would be like, "What is that infernal noise?"
She actually doesn't do it to him very often. Which I guess is a trust thing, maybe. We'll get into some of the why this book was weird, good, and why this book was weird in here at the end, but we're getting there. So, Vlad once again disappears for a while. What he's actually doing is he's off getting, like, they're trying to figure out who close to Vlad wants him dead, so he's going out and getting things for her to touch to try to figure out who wants him dead, right? So she, after being ignored for a while, decides, you know what? Fuck it. I'm going to go out to the club with my human friends.
Aww, so, good for her. Because
they had invited her out before she passed out. And so she's like, hell yeah, let's fucking go. So they go to the club. She has a great time, has a lot of vodka cranberries, like a lot of vodka cranberries. So she's drunk. Unfortunately for her, one, she accidentally electrocutes someone because someone rude sets the bar on fire.
Oh, well, yeah.
Except that while she's fleeing, she realizes that, oh, this wasn't an accident. Someone is specifically attacking the bar to get to her. So, yeah. So one of the vampires that were like bodyguards that she had with her gets killed. And the other one, who's the one that she had gone on the date with before, he's fighting like three vampires at a time and like really trying to protect her. And another one comes by and is like, hey, you're coming with me. She shocks the shit out of him. And he basically like gets her to stay put, breaks her legs, which is horrible.
Her legs?
Her legs. It gets fucking real, man. Jesus. He's like, stay there, and breaks her legs. Jesus Christ.
But again, very Twilight.
Wait till the protect vibes happen.
Can't wait.
So she like discovers in an effort to protect this other vampire that was her bodyguard, she discovers a new power where she basically like accidentally creates like a small like electricity whip from her hand and like hits this other guy. It's cool as hell. Other guy, however, backhands her through a wall into the coat racks.
Yeah,
not great.
That'll not be great.
But don't worry.
That should break your neck or your spine, I feel like.
You know, you'd think she'd be dead at this point, but she is. She does have a direct tap to vampire blood, so who knows?
Well, aren't both of her legs already broken at this point?
Yes, it probably didn't feel good. So she's trapped in a burning building. And drunk.
Be really nice if a boyfriend showed up.
Well, don't worry. She has this really cool, because, you know, emotions and junk, direct link to him now, apparently, because he touched her hand. And it's enough of an emotional connection that she can reach out to him. So she...
Oh, I'm sorry. Excuse me. Help me, Vlad the Impaler. You're my only hope. I left my emotional feelings for you with this droid.
Yeah. Vlad, I'm sorry. You could have made it. You know, someone wrote this book by they looked at a picture of Vlad, like the portrait of Vlad the fucking Impaler, and was like, he's kind of hot. And that's what this book came from. He's something. Like I said, if you squint and turn your head, I could maybe see Aragorn, but no, not really.
I really don't feel it at all. Yeah. I'm gonna say, sorry, Vlad. Jesus.
So, yeah, he looks like he's done some impaling in his life, doesn't he?
He looks like he's done some incest in his life. His parents did.
Honestly, probably. So,
that apps for chin, buddy. You gotta check all that.
So don't worry. Vlad shows up and saves her.
But is it hot? What does he do?
Well, so he picks her up. He takes her back to his place. He feeds her his blood so her legs will heal. They have a sassy repertoire about... Or repertoire. That's not the right...
Yeah, that's right. That's it.
Is it? Cool. About, like, why the hell didn't you do this? And her being like, I'm drunk. Be nice to me. Because she's still drunk. Yeah. She sleeps it off and then they fuck. They bone. Yeah. So, well, because he takes her to, instead of her room, now she's staying in a room that's connected to his, which is exciting for her.
Okay. But does he have a bed, or is it just for fucking?
He does have a bed, and I have to assume. I think vampires sleep. I don't actually know. Unclear.
Okay.
Unclear. Yeah.
Maybe it's a coffin somewhere.
You never know. It's fine. So, yeah. They do indeed have the sexy time. Cool, and when they get back after the boning, after she's fully recovered, she has this moment of, oh, hey, we need to know who sent these people to kidnap me. Go get the bones of one of the ones that your men killed. I can use that. Obviously, these people like were sent by the guy that wants to kill you. So nice, she's able to do that. So she describes the guy's look, like who the guy is. But this guy, when she sees him, one, can read her mind, just like Vlad can. And two, he's in like a totally nondescript room. Like there's nothing identifiable about where he is. She has no idea where he is. So Vlad's like, get me the best sketch artist in the world. And so that's basically what they do. She's French. They cart her in from France, and
And she's like, was she kidnapped? Was this poor artist kidnapped?
She was paid very well.
Okay, good. All right.
Yes.
Thank God.
And I guess for timeline purposes, because I don't want to be accused of getting it wrong. She looks at the bones, then they bone, and then they do the sketch artist thing. So that's the order of operations.
Bone.
Sketch artist.
Sketch bones.
Yes. Bone, sketch bones. Yes.
Bone, sketch bone structure. Okay.
Perfect. Cool. So she's like kind of excited. She's like, okay, like I'm starting to figure this out. Like Vlad thinks this guy looks a lot like one of like Vlad's old enemies, but his enemy's dead, which is kind of weird. Like Vlad killed him. Like definitely dead.
Was his enemy a vampire?
Yes.
Never assume that someone is dead if they're also a vampire.
You know what they say about assuming. It makes an ass out of you and a vampire.
Out of you.
So she's like kind of wandering around noodling it, and she goes to see her human friends to make sure they know she's all right and make sure they're all right, and notices that they're all looking outside, and she's like, what are we looking at? And they're like, oh, Vlad's about to impale the vampire that was supposed to keep you safe at the club in punishment for not keeping you safe at the club.
Well, at least he's a vampire, so he won't die.
Yeah, she's pissed about it though. So she walks out and she's like, don't you, no, bad Vlad, no impaling, bad, with the squirt bottle. And Vlad's like, no, I'm gonna impale. She's like, no, do not impale.
Do not impale.
And then Vlad learns about the thing that she did with her whip, right? The new power she unlocked. And he's like, I have a better idea. So instead, vampire friend is now the guinea pig for her electric whip.
Whip it real good.
Oh, that's another good one to repeat in your brain to prevent vampire thoughts. Perfect. So she finds out basically she can create a whip out of electricity that can like cut shit in half. Like it's a fucking weapon, man. Like it's solid. So
nice.
Okay. So we are rolling towards the end, I promise.
No, you're fine.
So she has a whip now. That's exciting. That's literally actually what it says in my notes.
I will also say that's also very sexy power.
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah. That's fucking rad as hell. Unfortunately, around this time, we find out that... hang on. Let's see. Oh, sorry. Before this happens. So after we find out that she has a whip, Vlad's like, hey, you just gave me a clue to who this guy actually is. Basically, she's trying with the bones again. She realizes that she notices a ring that he has on his hand. And it's a very distinctive ring. She describes it to Vlad, and Vlad's like, fuck, I know who that is. That's the guy that I think is dead. So they go to his grave to see if he's actually dead. He's not dead.
No, of course he's not dead.
Of course he's not dead. The way that he's not dead is dumb. I'll let you read it to find out. So...
Should they have guessed that he's not dead? Like, is it also kind of on them?
No, because he really did think he was dead. Basically, Vlad's creator had two different, like, really distinct powers, and Vlad's creator was the creator of Vlad and this other guy. So each of them got one of the powers. Vlad got the immolation fire power. This other guy basically got the power of the possum and can play dead. That's his power. He can play dead. It obviously worked for him, so good for him.
Okay, just go on.
Sure. Yeah, I told you it was dumb. So
yeah, it is dumb. You're right. You were very right, and I should have trusted you. I'm sorry.
So after we officially determine who this is and that he's not dead. I'm not dead.
I'm not dead yet. I'm getting better.
We find out that Marty has been kidnapped. Not great. Not ideal. I know. We like Marty. Marty's great. Vlad is like, hey, now that we know who this guy is and he knows who you are and he has your friend, we need to kind of maybe make sure your family's safe. That's what I would do.
She has family?
She does have family. They are very much estranged.
Okay, because obviously, because I thought that her whole family was, like, dead this whole time or something, like another tragic backstory.
No, so this is actually where we find out about her tragic backstory. So let's get to it. Basically, so she has a father and a sister. They're very estranged. She hasn't talked to them in years. Basically, so she accidentally, not her fault at all, killed her mom. So after she got electrocuted, her mom, somehow the latent electricity in her body, which was probably her new abilities, electrocuted her mother when her mom came out to make sure she was okay. Her dad, she was able to see, you know, when she touched him with her new psychic powers that he kind of blames her in some way. He doesn't anymore. At the time, it was like, you know,
yeah, but that would still be really hard. Yeah.
And
humans are complicated.
Right. And her sister kind of like, she estranged herself from her sister after another trigger warning I missed. Sorry, this one's full of it. A suicide attempt that she had Layla had made on herself. So she like not talked to her sister, but Vlad's like, they're still going to go after them and you still care about them. So we need to bring them in.
And that's why they're going to go after with them.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
So Vlad goes and has them picked up. So she has a reunion with her family, all the family trauma, yada, yada, yada. Can't tell them about the vampire thing because they don't know about vampires.
Can't tell them about the impaling thing.
Or the impaling thing. And she...
I mean, I feel like they're going to see the evidence of the impaling, like, maybe on the grounds of the property. But, like, what do I know about impaling?
They do eventually learn about the vampire stuff. So she does, however, throughout the process of this, realize that the reason Vlad knows all of these things of like, you know, we need to go get her family and keep them safe and everything is because he had already planned to use that against her if need be. She is pissed at this revelation, very angry, slaps him in the face, like, which.
So how is he going to use them against her? Like,
he is not going to now. He was going to. So he was prepared to do that if he needed to.
To
get her to work with him.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Gotcha. Gotcha. Yeah. I mean, like, you've seen him impale your friend.
Yeah.
Why does this shock you?
Right.
I have to kind of say, I'm like, why would this shock you?
I have to admit, I also was confused about that.
Yeah.
Oh
no, the evil guy was thinking about doing something evil before he like decided that he loved you. I'm so shocked.
Honestly, like, we knew you were going to be fine with it because he's hot. Jesus, come on, let's go.
Yeah, you are already into Aragorn. Let's move on.
Let's see. So she is able to use some stuff that Marty had been touching. And by stuff, I mean where he had been tortured to find out where Marty is now. So she finds out where Marty is. She also finds out, no, don't go get him. This bad guy has basically rigged the whole mountain to come down on you. So let's not do that. We're going to not. And we're going to have to try to figure out a way to get him to come out because he's obviously somewhere in the area. Why else would he go to the effort of making every time I see him, he's in this super bland room. He was at the club within 2 hours of me leaving your house. Like, obviously he's near and he knows what's going on, right?
Near, far, wherever you are.
Yeah. So she puts forth the idea of, well, why don't you use me as bait? He wants me. He wants me to switch sides. He told me so in our mind communications. Use me as bait. I know you're not going to like it, but like, this is a solid plan and you know it. And Red agrees that it's a solid plan, but also refuses.
No. Kiboshes it. Yep. Yes. Yeah.
So they're slowly working on going around to all of Vlad's allies and trying to like let her like touch things from them to see if any of them are in cahoots with bad guy. So she finally, she's on her way over. She's like, okay, this guy, Vlad, the only reason he sent me is because he really thinks that he's on our side and everything. Spoilies, he wasn't. So here's kidnapping number three.
Okay, here we go. Here we go. I'm ready.
Yeah, so she basically touches something that brings her back to this bad guy and realizes, oh shit, this vampire is working with the bad guy. The bad guy notices her and she is able to be like, no, I want to join your side. I'm away from the thing. I'm away from his house. Like, she basically puts her plan into action because she doesn't have a choice at this point. She's like, he knows I'm here. This is a problem. So this guy's like, the bad guy's men basically storm the castle essentially and they kidnap her. Bad guy does not believe her when she says that she wants to come over to his side, because why would he? Honestly. Right.
I mean, yeah. Yeah. Also, I'm like, you're, I feel like after thousands of years of being a vampire, you're not going to trust anyone.
And obviously you've been boning like, Vlad because you smell like him. So
Yeah.
We've established that vamps can smell things. So after some light torture, by light torture, I mean pretty bad torture.
Bad torture.
She, using her fancy new electric whip, is able to cut the guy in half that's torturing her, which is very exciting for her. Love it for her. Great. Good for her.
But the person torturing her is not the super evil guy.
No, it's actually the one that broke her legs in the club.
Okay, gotcha.
That guy.
Just the guy who broke her legs in the club.
Yeah, broke her legs in the club.
Yo, roll up to the club.
Yo, roll up to the clubs, breaking legs left and right. She kills the guy. Marty's there.
Good for her.
Saves Marty.
For her.
Good for her. Love it. She is able to get in contact with Vlad.
Love that for you.
Love that for you. Who is in the process of like, or she tells him, hey, I know where the bad guy is because I've seen it in the bones of the dude I just murdered. You need to go there. Okay, cool and good. But she also finds out that when she was kidnapped, the two bodyguards, one of which being the dude that she dated at the beginning, also got kidnapped. And she finds out where they are. And she's like,
There's
so much kidnapping. She's like, I am not letting them, like, not letting them die. So she goes off on her own with Marty and sneaks in to save them, basically. Long story short, there's a standoff in this secret hidden cave under Vlad's
secret
ancestral
tunnel.
Home. Yes, exactly. Secret tunnel. Bad guy tries to bring the whole mountain down on them, and sets everything on fire. But Vlad saves them both by somehow sharing his fire aura with her so she doesn't burn up. Because love and magic.
Because I think that's a better answer. Love and magic.
And at the end of the book, basically, she has found out, she's discovered that, like, he saves her. She's back at his place. And she realizes that, like, her greatest wish has come true. When she touches things, she's no longer seeing the past, present, future, whatever.
Oh.
She can still, but she still has the fire immunity. So as long as something in the process of giving her that power removed the other power. So on one side, she's like, I don't know if this is going to wear off.
They're like Pokemon cards. They're trading them.
I guess. She's like, I don't know if this is going to wear off. And if it does, will my other power come back? On one hand, I don't want it to come back because it sucks. But also, that's what I'm useful. It's what makes me useful to Vlad. And will he get rid of me?
Aww.
End of the book.
Shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
End of the book.
It's apparently a multi-book series. I didn't realize that going into it.
I love that. I don't love that. I mean, I think it's okay. So getting into review territory, from the immediate get-go, I feel like that is a cheap cliffhanger. I feel like what that cliffhanger is that you are not confident in your own world building and characters, that you had to like leave this little little something at the end so that we would come back.
Well, and here's the thing, like, it was a decent book otherwise. Like, it was fine. Like, it was fun. It was a fun little romp. There was interesting characters and all of that jazz. You didn't need to do that. And even, like, in my, I mean, the my favorite book series that we have talked about on the podcast, like, the first book does end with, like, it's not a cliffhanger, but it is a sexually charged moment between the characters. And that's fine.
Yes.
This is that kind of, like, I mean, y'all know our thoughts on cliffhangers. It better be done well. Otherwise, it's cheap.
Now, because I do have, playing my own devil's advocate, I will say that we have another, we love the book War Prize. Love it.
That's
love
true.
Love it. So good. But we also have not, either of us, read the next couple of books because we were like, no, we want these characters to be satisfied and happy, and we don't want, like, and then, and in love. And in the next book, we know that something bad is going to happen.
Well, here's the argument for that one is that it doesn't need a second book. I think that neither of us have read the second one because the first one, it doesn't end on a cliffhanger. It's very like, yay.
Yes.
We don't want to read the next one because it's like it doesn't need it.
Because it was, we were like, it's done, it's perfect, leave it alone.
Yes, yeah. This one left on the cliffhanger. Now, here's my actual gripe with this book. Because like I said, for what it is, it was fine. I didn't even get to the most upsetting Vore. I'll just say she's a virgin. The most upsetting Vore. Get ready for Under the Covers, baby.
No.
Yeah.
Okay.
So,
I'm so glad I have bourbon now.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
So,
All right. Just keep going.
Here's my actual gripe with this book. And the reason I think it was in the listicle that it was in with the How to Tame a Beast in 7 Days and Gina Showalter and all of that crap. There is a very specific genre of romance novel that things like Gina falls into, things like the How to Tame a Beast book falls into, where it is the weirdly Christian overtone romance novel.
Oh, interesting. I did not see that coming.
There was so many, because it wasn't ever story specific, but there were so many veiled, not even veiled, but just references to how, like, we don't like people that are effeminate, was the word that they used. Or how people are on their phones too much.
Do you mean,
or
when you say
how,
effeminate, do you mean men acting what's considered to be feminine?
Yes.
Okay.
And there was discussion about being on your phone too much. And there was so many, like, things where it's like this, I'm not even going to say, I'm sorry, I should not say, like, Christian, I should say more boomer. Very boomer.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Weird because it really was like just sprinkled in every once in a while. And I was like,
What's the author's name again?
It is Janine Frost.
All right, we're just going to look up Janine Frost. I want to see how old she is.
Maybe. I honestly can't tell. But yeah.
What a bad picture.
It's not a great picture. Yeah.
Not
so,
of her. I'm not talking about her. I'm talking anyway.
Yeah.
She looks a little bit younger than a boomer, but
I'm
not entirely surprised, but maybe she's like just, if she's a little younger than a boomer, she's, or like not younger, but probably the child of a boomer.
Yeah.
Something like that. So I don't know.
It was just sprinkled in there, and every time it took me by surprise. Like, I get wanting a more, like being attracted to a more rugged person. But you don't have to, every time you talk about how rugged they are, also talk about how, well, at least they're not, an effeminate man. Like, you don't have to also say that at the same time. You can just say you like rugged-looking men. Like, that's fine. It was weird.
And there are, okay, and I know, I feel like I'm just kind of, like, proving a point to her, which I hate, but there are ways that men can be effeminate, obviously, and it's very attractive. Like, a man who is, like, well-groomed and can take, you know, like, cleans up after himself and looks very, like, put together. I think that some people would consider that effeminate, and I'm like, that's just hot. And you're just afraid of people thinking that you're gay. Like,
right. Well, and that's very much the overtone I got was like, yeah, no gay men kind of thing. And it's like, okay, one, who gives a shit? Do whatever you yeah. look however you want to look. Someone's going to find that attractive. Do right. you like you do you. And two, who the fuck cares? You're allowed to be into yeah. one thing and you don't have to like disparage someone else's thing. Okay, good for you. Okay. You don't have to be weird about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It was weird. The rest of the book was fine. It was just weird. Yeah. So getting into reviews, she was interesting. Like Frankie/Layla had some interesting junk given what she had to deal with. I'm going to give her solid 2.5, middle of the road. She was fine.
Okay. Yeah, she's fine. Out of 5. Just
out of 5, yeah. Vlad, yeah. mildly problematic, sometimes overtly problematic, still sexy.
Mildly? Darling, what do you think is...
I said also I, over.
Again...
I said okay, also good, over.
Okay, fair. Because I just like the impaling. Yeah. It's the impaling for me.
The impaling's a lot. He is still sexy. So I'll give him that in terms of description okay, and protection yeah. vibe. I will give him that. And because of that, I'm going to go with a 2. Because the impaling doesn't quite outweigh the, like or outweighs the sexy a bit. But we're going to do a 2.
Can I ask a question about him?
Yes.
That I feel like, is he ever, like, kind? Like, even just to her? Like, is
yes.
he... Okay. Okay.
So the thing that helps her like get over the whole jazz with him and her family is that like she gets a glimpse of him sitting in front of his mirror while his family like waiting for her family to get there, just trying to decide like, okay, what am I going to wear to meet her family? I need to make sure I make a good impression. And like,
okay. And okay. Even also, thousands of years later, men are still yeah. adorable sometimes.
And he also gives her a gift of these like black leather opera gloves that are super discreet, like rubber lined gloves that she can wear that are like really.
That's hot as fuck.
Yeah, right. So yes. So I'm gonna say a 2 out of 5.
Yeah.
Two, 2.5, somewhere around there. The sex was not for me, I'll admit it. And that's fine. Okay. If it's for someone else. Cool. Wasn't for me. I'm gonna give that one like a 1.5. Not my jam. And then but he was still sexy, I'll give him that. And then plot was again fine. 2, 2.5. Overall, I'm gonna give this one like a 6. Because it was fun and mm-hmm. it wasn't bad. It was fun. There was just bits of it where I was like, okay.
I would say I would also so like, and this is not how you told it, I feel like it was one of those books too where I was like never really sure who the villain was in a way, like
yeah.
I don't know, from her beginning kidnap to the guy at the end who's in like a nondescript right. room.
I would just
did it feel like when you were reading it that because to me were they connected? Because to me it didn't feel like that those two instances were connected, because at first group I thought was just looking for Vlad. So, like, they were interested in nondescript room guy.
I have no idea why. I never put together why the bad guy asked them to find her to find Vlad. Because obviously okay. he knew
so
where Vlad was.
He subcontracted
yes.
these and guys at the beginning. That's bizarre.
It was weird. It just kind of felt like a way to get them together. It wasn't great. The one
thing I
will say is we knew who the villain was. But there was no impact of the villain. Like, I wasn't afraid of the villain. There was no reason for me
yeah.
to feel like he was a villain.
Yeah. Well, how are you supposed to be afraid of a guy whose whole skill is being a coward, essentially, and playing yeah. possum?
Right. Like, that was not done very well. So, but,
and
I mean,
the
yeah.
only reason that I would say that playing dead is being a coward is because he is a being with indescribable power and abilities, and he is still deciding to play dead instead
yeah.
of... So I'm sorry, and like, I don't know. I felt like I don't want people to ever feel like...
Well, the reason that he's evil in the first place or wants to go after Vlad in the first place is because family beef way back when Vlad human.
Got the better power, arguably. I would be mad too. But
not
like,
even that. It was before when Vlad was human. Like, that was it. They just had beef.
Okay, dog.
Yeah, it was, yeah.
Chill out.
Yeah, so it was, but I mean, it was still a fun, like, it was that fun level of trash. Although, like I said, there were still
yeah.
those little bits where
I
you're like, okay.
I will say, you delivered, you definitely delivered on what was advertised.
Thank you. Thank you.
This was definitely like trash.
Yeah.
But it was enjoyable trash of like a Thursday evening. Oh, yeah. I'm going to read this and have a good time.
Exactly.
Trash.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there you go.
It was fun. Yeah. There you go. Trash delivered. Asked and answered.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Hey, thank you. And thank you, listeners, for listening. Yes. Look at that segue. Boom. Hell yeah.
Wait.
And thank you, Ayla Neriu, for the use of your song, of your Oh Love.
Oh Love, up the album Be Held.
Hell yeah. Tis a bop. Well, thank you all so much for listening, and we'll see you next time. Mm-hmm. Bye. Mm-hmm.